Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're tackling mold design, but with a twist. We're looking at it through the lens of sustainability.
It's a really interesting area.
It is. I've got a whole bunch of sources here, research articles, case studies, and even some firsthand accounts from folks on the factory floor. And you know what's wild? They all seem to agree that even small changes in mold design can lead to massive reductions in material waste.
It's amazing how much impact those little tweaks can have.
Totally. Okay, let's jump right in. First up, CAD software.
Oh yeah, CAD's essential these days.
For sure. But I'll admit, when I picture CAD, I mostly think about those cool 3D models rotating on a screen. Like, how does that translate to less waste in the real world?
Well, it's about moving beyond just the visuals and thinking about all the what ifs. Imagine you're designing something complex, like a car part. Before CAD, you'd have to build physical prototypes, tons of them, each time you wanted to test an idea.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Right. So each prototype that didn't work out meant a bunch of wasted material. But with CAD, you can run simulations, test different designs, you know, figure out where the stress points are, how the material is going to distribute, all virtually.
So it's like a crystal ball for material usage, right?
Yeah. You can see how much you'll need and spot any potential issues before you even touch a single piece of physical material.
That's got to be a game changer for designers.
It really is. And the best part is, CAD software can talk directly to the machines that actually make the parts, those CNC machines.
So it's not just a design tool, it's integrated into the whole process.
Exactly. That seamless communication means fewer errors, less wasted material from redos and rework. It's a huge improvement. I remember back when we had to translate designs manually. It was like a game of telephone. Things would get lost in translation, you know?
Oh yeah, I bet. So speaking of CNC machines, for folks who haven't spent much time on a factory floor, can you break down what those are and how they fit into this whole sustainable manufacturing picture?
Sure. CNC stands for computer numerical control, basically. They're robots that cut and shape materials based on the digital instructions from the CAD software.
Okay, that makes sense.
So instead of relying on manual cutting and shaping, which can be, you know, a bit inconsistent, we've got these automated systems that execute the designs precisely, like robotic sculptors.
That's pretty cool. So we've got the design software, the communication with the machines. It's all coming together to make a much more efficient, streamlined process and ultimately a more sustainable one.
Exactly.
But even with these high-tech tools, I imagine there are still design choices that can make a big impact on waste. Our sources mentioned gate placement as one of those seemingly small details that can have huge consequences. So what exactly is a gate in this context?
Think of it like a waffle iron, you know? You pour the batter in and it flows out to fill the whole mold. The gate is where that batter, or in this case, molten plastic, enters the mold.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Seems simple, but the location of that gate determines how the material flows, how it cools, and ultimately how the final product turns out.
So bad gate placement can lead to messed up waffles, products.
Basically.
Yeah.
I remember working on a project where we were making casings for gadgets. We initially had the gate in a spot that caused the plastic to flow unevenly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it created all these unsightly marks on the surface. We had to scrap a ton of them. So frustrating and wasteful.
Wow. And all because of where the plastic entered the mold.
Yep. It was like trying to force a river through a tiny opening. It creates turbulence and chaos.
So what did you do?
Well, we moved the gate to a better location, created a smoother flow, and boom. No more marks, way fewer rejects.
So just by repositioning that one tiny element, you drastically reduced waste. That's a pretty powerful lesson.
It really was. And it highlighted the importance of understanding how those seemingly small details can have a ripple effect on the whole process.
Totally. So good gate placement, less waste. What else should we be thinking about when it comes to actually choosing the material itself?
Well, the world of sustainable materials is booming right now. It's really exciting. You've got recycled plastics, biodegradable polymers, even things like bamboo are making a comeback.
It's almost overwhelming. Where do you even begin?
Start with what you know, I guess. Like recycled plastics. It's about moving towards this idea of a circular economy.
I've heard that term. What's it all about?
Basically, instead of just chucking stuff in the landfill after we're done with it, we figure out how to reuse and recycle those materials. Take PET, for example. That's what most water bottles are made of.
Okay. Yeah.
That can be recycled over and over, turning into new bottles, clothing fibers, even carpets.
Yeah.
Your old water bottle could have a second life as a fleece jacket. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's not just about using less material. It's about using it smarter, giving it multiple lives. What about those biodegradable polymers? They sound pretty futuristic.
They're definitely intriguing. These polymers are designed to, well, biodegrade, meaning they break down naturally without leaving harmful residues. It's like they just return to the earth, like a fallen leaf.
That's wild. Okay, so we've got recycled plastics getting a second life and biodegradable polymers just disappearing. What about bamboo? What's so special about bamboo?
Bamboo's amazing. It grows incredibly fast. Like some species can shoot up 3 feet in a day. It's strong, versatile.
I knew it was fast growing, but 3 feet a day, that's insane.
Right, and it doesn't need much water or pesticides to thrive. You can use it for buildings, clothes, even packaging. It's like nature's own composite material.
Okay, I'm sold on bamboo. So we've got recycled plastics, biodegradable polymers that vanish like magic, and Gamboo, the plant-based superhero. Sounds like there are lots of options when it comes to choosing sustainable materials.
Definitely. The key is to think about the whole life cycle of a product, from the materials we choose to how we design and manufacture them.
It's not just about making a single green choice, but about integrating that sustainable thinking into every step of the process.
Exactly. And about asking ourselves, how can we do better? How can we make products that are functional, responsible, good for both business and the planet?
It's a huge challenge, but it's also an amazing opportunity, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And by working together and being open to new ideas, we can make it happen.
So far, we've covered CAD software acting like a crystal ball for material usage, the importance of well-placed gates, and that exciting world of sustainable materials. But we're just scratching the surface.
There's so much more to explore.
In part two of this deep dive, we'll be looking at how optimizing runner systems can make the manufacturing process even more efficient and sustainable.
Can't wait.
Then we'll get into the fascinating world of design for manufacturability, or DFM. Stick around because this deep dive is just getting started.
It's going to be good. Welcome back to our deep dive. Last time we were talking about how design choices impact sustainability in mold design.
Yeah, like those gates, tiny but mighty.
Right. Now let's zoom out a bit and look at the bigger picture, specifically the runners.
Runners, those are the channels that carry the molten plastic from the injection point to the mold cavity, right? Like a network of pipes delivering the ingredients.
Perfect analogy. And just like with pipes, you want those runners optimized for a smooth, efficient flow. If they're too narrow or have sharp turns, you'll run into problems, blockages, even bursts, kind of like plumbing gone wrong.
So bad runner design means wasted material.
Exactly. It's like a leaky faucet dripping away precious resources. And it's not just about the wasted material. That inefficient flow can also mess up the final product.
More rejects, more scrap, more energy used to make replacements. That's a sustainability nightmare.
Totally. Luckily, we've got those simulation tools we talked about earlier.
The crystal ball for material usage.
That's the one. We can use those same tools to virtually test different runner designs, analyze flow patterns, spot potential bottlenecks, and make adjustments before we even make the physical mold.
So it's like we're preventing plastic plumbing disasters before they even happen.
Exactly. It takes a lot of the guesswork and waste out of the equation. And speaking of runner systems, there are two main types: hot and cold runners, each with its own pros and cons, sustainability-wise.
Okay, break it down for me. What's the difference between hot and cold runners?
Imagine hot runners like those heated pipes that keep water flowing in cold climates. The plastic stays molten throughout the whole process, so you don't have to solidify and eject the runners after each cycle.
Less waste and faster production, I like it.
Right. But of course, there's a trade-off. Hot runners are more complex, more expensive to set up initially.
So higher upfront cost, but better for the environment and your wallet in the long run.
Exactly. Now, cold runners, they're simpler and cheaper to set up, but because the plastic solidifies in the runners after each cycle, it has to be ejected with the finished product.
More scrap, that's not ideal.
Right, it's a trade-off. Choosing the right system depends on the project, production volume, budget, all that good stuff.
It's all about making those informed decisions. This reminds me of something else we've been talking about, design for manufacturability, or DFM, thinking about how something's going to be made right from the design phase.
Yeah. DFM ties in perfectly with all of this. It's about anticipating those manufacturing challenges and designing to avoid them, which ultimately means less waste.
Sounds super practical. Why not plan ahead?
Exactly. DFM is all about optimizing the whole process: material choice, design complexity, assembly methods, all of it. And when it comes to sustainability, DFM is a huge factor in minimizing waste.
Can you give me a real-world example of how DFM might work?
Sure. Imagine we're designing a simple plastic toy, a duck, right? The initial design might be separate pieces for the body, wings, beak, all assembled later.
Okay, makes sense.
But using DFM, we might rethink that. Design a mold to produce the whole duck as one piece, eliminate assembly steps, reduce errors, and potential waste from those individual components.
Streamlining, simplifying, that's the DFM motto.
It is, and it goes beyond just the number of parts. Choosing easy to work with materials, avoiding complex details that might complicate molding, standardizing components, these all contribute to a more efficient and sustainable manufacturing process.
So DFM is really about putting those sustainability goals into action at every stage of the game.
Absolutely. And it's being made even easier with technology. CAD software is becoming so sophisticated, it can analyze designs for manufacturability, spot potential issues, even suggest improvements based on the manufacturing process.
It's like having a virtual expert on your
It
shoulder.
is. This combination of smart design and powerful tech is driving so much innovation in sustainable mold design. It's a really exciting time to be in this field.
Okay, we've covered those runner systems, the plumbing of the mold, and DFM, the design philosophy that keeps things efficient and waste-free. But what about the molds themselves? Any cool innovations happening there?
Absolutely. Molds are a key piece of the puzzle, and we're seeing some fascinating developments in the materials and technologies being used. Traditionally, molds were made from steel or aluminum, very energy intensive to produce.
I can imagine.
But now there's a shift towards more sustainable options.
Like the bio-based plastics and bamboo we were talking about earlier.
Those are definitely being explored, especially for certain applications. But there are also innovations in how we use traditional materials. For example, some companies are using lighter aluminum alloys for their molds, less energy to produce and transport.
Making those materials work harder, smarter.
Exactly. It's all about finding those incremental improvements that add up to big change. Another interesting development is the use of additive manufacturing or 3D printing to create molds.
3D printing molds. I thought that was mostly for prototypes and small parts.
It's a newer application, but it's gaining traction. 3D printing allows for really intricate designs, which can be perfect for complex molds. And because it's additive, you only use the material you need, minimizing waste compared to traditional subtractive methods.
Like building with Lego blocks instead of carving away at a hunk of wood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plus, it opens up possibilities for using sustainable materials in mold construction, bio-based plastics, recycled materials, even composites.
So 3D printing is shaking things up in a good way.
It is. It aligns with DFM, allows for greater design freedom and material choices. It's a win-win-win.
Okay, I'm convinced. Optimized runners, DFM, cutting-edge mold innovations, it's a lot to take in. But are companies actually putting these ideas into practice? Are we seeing real-world success stories?
That's the best part. They are. And we'll be diving into some of those inspiring examples in the final part of our deep dive.
All right, so we've spent the last two parts of this deep dive exploring all these amazing ways to make mold design more sustainable. But talk is cheap, right? Are companies actually walking the walk?
Oh, they absolutely are. Companies are realizing that sustainability isn't just some feel-good trend. It makes good business sense.
Okay, I'm all ears. Hit me with those success stories.
Well, there's this one company that makes reusable water bottles. They were all about reducing their environmental impact and noticed that their old mold design was creating a ton of excess plastic scrap.
So they were literally throwing away money and resources.
Yeah, pretty much. They decided to invest in a new mold that was specifically designed for material efficiency. By tweaking the mold cavity and analyzing the flow, they significantly cut down on the excess plastic.
So same great water bottles, less waste, and probably lower costs too.
Bingo! A win-win-win situation. They shrank their environmental footprint, lowered production costs, and boosted their image as a sustainable company.
It's amazing what a smart mold design can do. Got any more inspiring
Oh,
examples?
yeah, tons.
Yeah.
There was this food packaging company. They were using a conventional plastic that wasn't biodegradable.
So even if they were efficient with the design, the material itself was still a problem.
Right, it was creating a disposal headache. They wanted a better solution, so they switched to a biodegradable polymer for their packaging.
Compostable, back to the earth. I love it.
Yeah, it was a big step, And they didn't stop there. They worked with their mold design team to optimize the whole process, use less material, less energy, even implemented a system to reuse the excess material generated during production.
They were like, we're going all in on sustainability. That's awesome.
It's really inspiring to see. And these are just a couple of examples. Companies are embracing this stuff across industries, automotive, electronics, you name it. They're finding out that sustainability can be good for the planet and the bottom line.
It's like this beautiful convergence of doing good and doing well.
Exactly.
Right.
But of course, there are always challenges, right?
Yeah. What are some of the hurdles companies face when trying to implement these sustainable design practices?
Well, one of the biggest ones is upfront cost. Sustainable materials, new technologies, they can be more expensive initially, especially for smaller companies. It's a tough decision when you're focused on the bottom line.
It's that classic short-term versus long-term thinking.
Right. But as we've seen from those success stories, the long-term benefits can be huge. Lower material costs, less energy used, a better reputation. It all adds up.
Plus, you have to factor in the hidden costs of unsustainable practices. Waste disposal, environmental cleanup, potential damage to your brand, all that stuff.
Exactly. Sustainability is an investment, no doubt about it. But there are other challenges, too. The technical side can be tricky.
What do you mean?
Well, sometimes it's hard to find a sustainable material that performs as well as a conventional one. You know, the strength, durability, heat resistance, all those factors have to be considered.
It's like those eco-friendly shoes that fall apart after a month. Not very sustainable in the long run.
Ah, exactly. This is where collaboration is key. Designers, engineers, material scientists, they all have to work together to find that sweet spot. Sustainability, performance, cost effectiveness, it's a balancing act.
And technology is playing a big role too, right?
Huge. AI, machine learning, all these tools are being used to optimize designs, use even less material, squeeze out every bit of energy efficiency.
So we're basically using cutting-edge tech to push the boundaries of what's possible in sustainable manufacturing.
We are. It's amazing to see how far we've come in such a short time. It really shows the power of human ingenuity and our drive to build a better future.
Well said. I think we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. Tiny gates, incredible materials, inspiring success stories has been quite a journey.
I've really enjoyed talking about all this with you. I hope this deep dive has encouraged everyone to think a bit differently about design and manufacturing, you know, seeing the possibilities for a more sustainable future.
Me too. And to everyone listening, keep learning, keep exploring, because even the smallest choices can make a big difference. We all have a part to play in this.
Absolutely. The pursuit of sustainability is a journey, and it's one we're all on together. There will be bumps in the road, for sure, but with a little creativity and collaboration, we can make sustainable manufacturing the norm, not the exception.
That's a great note to end on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into sustainable mold design. Until next time, keep those minds curious and keep diving deep.